This is the Friday, October 2nd, 2015 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Mark Gold. Mark, welcome back.
Nice to be back, Mike.
It is. It's good to have a bullish Mark Gold in the studio.
Yeah,
this is kind of exciting.
Really Mark Gold? Yeah, it's Mark Gold.
Yeah.
You know, when everything's at $8 corn and $16 beans, I'm a bear. When we get down to 360 corn and 850 beans, I'm done being a bear. I believe, unlike a lot of people, that 2016, for a lot of different reasons, could be a good year for American farmers, much better than we've seen over the last 3 years. So, listen, I believe that these markets move in cycles, and we've had this down cycle. Can we turn it up? I believe we can. In the grain market, I'm still very friendly. In the livestock market, I still believe there's more risk out there.
Okay. Now, on the grain side, grain and oil seeds, as you look at what's going to drive a good 2016, are you in the camp that these low prices are going to spur demand to bring us out of the doldrums, or do you think we're going to discourage a lot of international supply with these prices, or is it a little of both?
I think it's a little of both. Certainly supply and demand. When I do give my seminars around the country, I always put up the long-term charts and show them how the supply and demand affects high prices and low prices. Well, now we're at low prices, and now supply may back off, demand's going to increase, and hopefully prices can go higher. The other thing, when I was a student at the University of Illinois in ag economics, I had a professor who used to love to say, Mother Nature takes care of deficits, and Mother Nature takes care of surpluses. We've had a couple of good growing years here. We had some problems this year, which if we didn't have those problems, no telling what these yields could have been. But the fact of the matter is, I think we're due for a tougher, maybe El Nino. We've been hearing a lot about that. So I believe there are a couple of things that could gang up here and to take us off these lows and at least get us back to some reasonable spots where we can, you know, get much more profitability out of these grain markets than we've seen in a while.
Okay.
So, you know, I go with the markets. I'm not a bull. I'm not a bear. I just look at the markets and figure out what the risk is. And I think if you're selling grain off the combine now, the risk is to the upside that you should be buying call options to replace it.
Okay. Now, looking at that upside risk and looking at the international supply competition, we've got a question here from Phil in Ontario, Canada. And he's wondering, with Brazil starting their soybean planting and the real so devalued against the U.S. dollar, where do you see their planting? Is it going to be a record again this year in Brazil?
It may not be a record, but they're still going to plant a lot of acres. What I think you'll see in Brazil is a reduction in the corn acres and going into beans, and it could be about a 3% shift. Because of the real, they're able to sell these beans at great prices, but the input costs that are going to go into corn, where they have to import everything, is going to cost them a fortune. So I think they're going to go with the lower cost and go into the beans, take it out of the corn. Now, that could be a little bit bearish for the bean market long term. But again, if we're anticipating all this 3% extra acres in beans, and we price that into the market already down here at the lows, and we do have an El Nino problem, that just makes it a little bit better of a kickstart if we start heading up.
Because El Nino should lead to hotter and drier conditions in Brazil.
Yes. So we'll see where we go. But, you know, again, in my opinion, we've discounted a lot of the bearish news that's out there.
Okay. Now, you made a comment here just at the beginning of this segment. You said, without the weather event this year, who knows where these yields might be?
Yeah.
Now, we talked corn a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell us what you're hearing on soybean yields.
It's phenomenal in a lot of parts of this country. In the South, in Mississippi, in Alabama, they're seeing huge yields. Nebraska, 70, 75 bushel beans. Iowa, South Central Minnesota, 70, 75 bushel beans. We get about 50 to 100 yield reports every day from all over the country. We've got guys telling us as they're going through some of these soybean fields, their yield monitors are over 100. Eventually, the soybean yields over time, we've seen the jump in the last 20 years in what corn yields have done. I believe the beans have just started it in the last year or two, and we're going to see an acceleration. But, you know, normally that would be a little bearish as we get more and bigger yields. But I believe the demand is going to pick up down here at these lower prices, and we're going to need these beans. The Chinese are going to need these beans. The Indians are going to need the oil. The Indonesians are going to need the oil. So all in all, we can handle some higher yields as long as we have good demand.
Now, speaking of demand, last week we had the Chinese delegation make the purchase of 13.1 million metric tons. The market took it, ran with it a little bit, and then just kind of set it to the side because there's been a million metric tons actually ordered so far.
Yeah, it's the talk and the actuality are beginning to diverge a little bit here.
Are you confident they will follow through on those orders and more?
Yeah, probably. They need the beans, but it's not a number that the USDA hasn't already budgeted in. What it's done is, if they actually take it, is to catch up some of the lagging sales that we've had in this market, which is a positive sign. I've said it year after year. The Chinese understand they have to feed the people. The easiest way to get people upset and look for a regime change is to let the people go hungry. They are smart enough not to do that. But the bean yields, you know, from where it's bad, we still have some areas that were drowned out, lost some acres, and the beans didn't like the cold, wet weather to start with. But in much more of the country, we've seen phenomenal bean yields.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that bean oil has been driving the plane here in the soybean complex. Bean meal closed Friday at 301.20. Yeah. Should producers be in here buying, or do you wait to see if it weakens a little bit, get sub $300 bean meal?
You know, with this harvest that's just really getting going out here, there can be some more pressure over the next 30 days in corn and beans. I think the key is kind of when you get to that 50% mark on the harvested acres, now you can start looking at accumulating some calls. And I think over that next 30 days, you start on breaks, you start looking to buy some calls on the breaks.
Okay. Now, we do have a question here from Chad in Randalia, Iowa. You mentioned we might see a bit of a rally here in the corn market. He's curious, what's your time frame, and do you have a price target for that harvest rally?
You know, the time frame is a little bit trickier. Is it going to be this week and the week coming up, or is it going to be a month from now? Again, how fast is this harvest gone? If we're getting past that 50% mark this week, which I doubt, then I would say maybe it's this week. If we haven't, then it's going to maybe be a month later. But sometime in that next 30 days, and is it going to be significantly lower than where we're at now? I doubt it. Maybe, at worst case, in my opinion, maybe we could break at 25 cents between now and November 1st.
Okay.
But in the longer time, how high can the corn market rally? I don't see why we can't go back to 440, 460, particularly on the 2016 crop.
Okay. And so that's, again, where you'd look out to those middle-of-the-year options to hopefully catch it maybe on a weather scare in the spring? Or
and I would actually go out a little bit farther to replace it. I like some of these September call spreads for September of 2016 are very reasonably priced out here, and I'd certainly be looking at some of those. You can do a dollar spread in the corn market for about 20, 25 cents. You can do a $2 wide call spread in the beans for about 40, 45 cents in that range.
Give you protection from 8 to 10? Is that where you're looking on a
9
spread?
To 11.
9 to 11
on the beans.
Okay.
So that's a potential $2 rally, a little bit more than that. And you've got a year. So to me, that's good value. Sell the beans. Now, on the new crop, 16 beans and corn, the prices are too cheap, in my opinion, where the puts don't make a lot of sense here. Now, how many times have I been on this show where you've never heard me say, don't buy puts?
Right.
Well, here's a case where I don't want to be buying puts. To go out to November and December puts of next year, there's not enough risk-reward ratios. The profitability potential isn't there. So why would I have spent money on puts? We know options can expire worthless 85% of the time. Do I have any interest in buying a put down here and spending that kind of money? No, I don't. But I believe between now and the summer, as we always do, always have, between spring and summer, we'll get a rally for some reason, whether it's Brazilian weather, whether it's our weather. And when we can get beans back up to 10.50 or 11 bucks, we get corn to 4.40, 4.50, now's the time when we'll start looking at buying some puts. But I wouldn't be doing that here now. It just doesn't pay.
Okay. Now, one final question. Take it back to the cattle market real quick. We've got a question from Noah in Maxwell, Iowa. He's asking, is it going to be a typical V-bottom in this cattle industry? We see that a lot in that market. Yeah. Could we be getting close to it and see a quick rally?
We may have seen it on Friday. It wouldn't surprise me. The volatility is so extreme in this market. It looked like we had made a low a few days ago, came back, we had a nice rally, and then bang, took it out again. again, I like to buy commodities on the lows the first week of the month. So hopefully either this Friday or this coming Monday, it's going to be that buying opportunity. Let's hope it holds.
First of
the month, first of the quarter. I think that's a buying opportunity. Come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if we're under those levels that we closed at tonight, then it's a problem. You've got to be flexible because there is still an enormous amount of risk in this cattle market, in my opinion.
All right. Well, with that, Mark Gold, we'll let you go. Thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Always good to be here.
And thanks to all of you for sending in your questions via Facebook and Twitter. Please continue to do so, and we will get expert market analysis right to you. Thanks for watching, and have a great week.